إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so continuing with the lessons in tafsir of Juz Amma, we're now on Surah Al-Kawthar, and that is Inna A'tainaka Al-Kawthar. So who can finish that off to start with? Inna A'tainaka Al-Kawthar. Go on then. Excellent. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar wanhar inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. That indeed we have given you the kawthar, and therefore pray to your Lord and sacrifice. Surely your enemy is the one who shall be without posterity. In this surah then, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, that indeed we have given you the kawthar. Kawthar in the Arabic language, it means goodness. Kawthar in the Arabic language, it means plentiful goodness. So here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, that indeed we have given you kawthar, then kawthar in the Arabic language, it means lots of goodness. Lots of goodness. Al-Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, Al-kawtharu fil-lughah al-arabiyyah huwa al-khayru al-kathir. That the kawthar in the Arabic language, it means lots of goodness. Wahakadha kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أعطاه الله تعالى خيرا كثيرا في الدنيا والآخرة. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, that Allah had given him lots of goodness in this world and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam plentiful goodness in this world and in the hereafter. One particular specific meaning for Kawthar as well, which is what you typically hear, is the river in paradise. The river in paradise. And that is one type of this overall great goodness that the Prophet ﷺ was given. So the Prophet ﷺ was given plentiful goodness. From amongst those things, from amongst that goodness that he was given, was this river in paradise. فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ النَّهْرُ الْعَظِيمُ الَّذِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالَّذِي يَصُبُّ مِنْهُ مِيزَابًا عَلَى حَوْضِهِ الْمَوْرُودِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That is the river that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has been given in paradise. That is termed as Al-Kawthar. But generally speaking, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says here, the meaning of the surah isn't just the river, but rather all types of goodness that the Prophet ﷺ was given. From those types of goodness that he was given in this world and the hereafter, is that river in paradise. We discussed this briefly in a lecture before, when we talked about the events of the Day of Judgment. So what is the difference between the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment and this river, the Kawthar, on the Day of Judgment or in the Paradise? Are they the same or are they two different things? The pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment that has been mentioned, and Al-Kawthar, this river which has been mentioned. the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-hawd, the hawd, and this kawthar, this river, which has been mentioned for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are those two the same or are they different? The hawd and the kawthar, the pond and this river, are they both the same thing on the Day of Judgment or are they two separate things? Anyone? Two separate things, correct. Because the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is mentioned, it will occur and the people will drink from it and its water will be whiter than milk and it will be colder than ice and it will smell more fragrant than musk and it will taste sweeter than honey. All of those descriptions that are given regarding the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will be on the Day of Judgment, and that if a person drinks from it, they will never go thirsty again, and that the number of cups that are around that pond are more than the number of stars in the sky. That is the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same one that it is mentioned certain people will be prevented from being able to drink from that pond. And those who will be prevented from being able to drink from it are, for example, the apostates, and for example, the people of innovation, and for example, those who were excessive in their sinning and disobedience. Those types of people are mentioned in the narrations that they will not be allowed to drink from that pond. But that pond that is on the Day of Judgment when the resurrection occurs, on the Day of Judgment that time, that's where the pond is, on the plains of resurrection. This Kawthar, the river that we are talking about, this is past that time. This is not on the Day of Judgment, on the plains of judgment. This is beyond that, in paradise. The river is in paradise. And in fact, it is mentioned that this river, Kawthar, the water it flows from it to feed the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the water in the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it comes from the Kawthar that is being mentioned here. So inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar, that we have given you this Kawthar. Kawthar generally meaning all types or the great number of types of goodness. And from those various types of goodness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given, then there is this Kawthar, the river in paradise. And from the types of goodness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given, there were certain things that were specific to him, and none of the other prophets had been given those things. Certain things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given, and no other prophets were given those things. For example, we mentioned this before too in a previous lecture, nusirtu birru'bi masirata shahr, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this characteristic that the enemies, when they approached from a traveling distance of a month away, the fear would strike their hearts. That was something that was decreed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even a month traveling distance away, then the fear would already strike into their hearts. Similarly, from the specifics that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given, as was mentioned in the hadith, ju'ilat li al-ardu masjidan wa tahura. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of the earth has been made a mosque for me and a purifier. A mosque and purification. How so? Because when a person needs to pray, it is permissible for you to pray on the whole of the planet. You can pray outside on the road, it is pure. You can pray in a field, it is pure. You can pray in some other place outside in a mosque, whatever the street or the road or wherever it may be, it is permissible to pray. Of course, You check for the impurity, etc. And if the impurity and that affair does not exist, then it's permissible to pray, whether it's in the street, in the road, in the field. So the whole of the ground, it is permissible to pray in. And similarly, it is a purification, meaning if you don't ever find water somewhere, or you are unable to use water for some medical reason or other reason, or you're unable to get to the water for some reason, then it's permissible to make tayammum from the whole of the earth, wherever you are, the ground, the pure soil, etc. You can use that and make tayammum. So the whole of this earth has been made as a place where you can pray. And the whole of this earth, you can use it to make the tayammum, with the exceptions of those places that are impure, etc. Of course. Similarly, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلًا مِنْ أُمَّةِ أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْيُصَلِّهِ. So whoever from my ummah, the prayer comes upon him, then pray. If you're out somewhere in the forest, time for the prayer, then pray there. Permissible to pray. You're out somewhere in the woods, in the field, in the desert. When the prayer time comes, then pray. It's permissible, the desert, the forest, the road, to pray on those places. And this is a mistake that you see from people where they think that it's impure and it's haram to pray. And that you must have a prayer mat. And that it's not permissible otherwise. That is not the religion. It is not prescribed to such an extent that the people even insist on using prayer mats in their homes. In their homes with their brand new carpets. They take their shoes off at the entrance. Kept clean and hoovered every day. But they insist if you pray, you must put a prayer mat down. The carpet is pure, it's clean. It's permissible to pray. Outside the road, the field, the forest, it's permissible to pray. So that was just an example of some of the things from the goodness that the Prophet ﷺ was given, which is what Kawthar means in its general sense. And specifically here, as we say, then the Kawthar is the river that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is given in paradise. Also, the Shaykh, Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he goes on to mention here some of the other specific characteristics of goodness that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been given. One of those is, u'titu shafa'a, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given the intercession. And that we spoke about in a specific independent lecture regarding intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he briefly mentions regarding how on the day of judgment, when the calamities of that day they occur, and the distress, and the sun it comes close to the earth, and the people are sweating, and the people are fearful and terrified, then they look towards each other and they say, look at the calamity we're in. Find someone who will intercede on our behalf with Allah. Somebody who will speak on our behalf to Allah. So they go to the various prophets and messengers. To Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. They go to various prophets and messengers. But they all turn them away. And they direct them to go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When they go to Isa alayhi salam, he then directs them to go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when the people all come to him, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he is the one who makes the intercession on that day for the people. Similarly, after all of the judgment and the accountability has been done, and the people who are going to enter paradise come to paradise. But what do they find when they come to paradise? The gates of paradise are closed. So then again, they look to find someone. Somebody who can do intercession on their behalf with Allah. Somebody who can speak on their behalf to Allah to have the gates of paradise opened so that they can enter. So again, they go to the various prophets and messengers as the hadith mentions, but they all turn them down until they are finally directed to go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he makes the intercession sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the gates of paradise are opened. So they are some of the types of goodness that the Prophet ﷺ was given. Also another example in the hadith mentions, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ خَاصَّةِ وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ عَامَّةِ. That previously, prior to the Prophet ﷺ, prophets and messengers used to be sent to their particular nation. Prophets and messengers, they used to be sent to their particular people, to their nation, to their qawm. They used to be sent to their people, to their nation. That's where the prophets and messengers used to be sent, particularly to their people, to their nation, who is there amongst them. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was given the prophethood and he was given the revelation, it was not just for his people, the Quraysh, the Arabs there. It wasn't just for that. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the revelation to go and preach that to all of the people. The whole of the people in the world, whatever they may be, whoever they may be, this revelation is for everyone, the jinn and the humans. And that is something specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam too. Because before that, prophets and messengers were only sent to their nations. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the whole of mankind, to all of the jinn and the humans. So these are all the different types of goodness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given. And one of those is the Kawthar, i.e. the river in paradise. So that is what's mentioned at the beginning here. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Then Allah says, fasalli li rabbika wanhar. So pray to your Lord and slaughter for your Lord. So pray to your Lord and slaughter for your Lord. Meaning Allah has now said, you've been given all of this type of goodness, all of these different types of goodness. So pray to Allah alone and slaughter for Allah alone. I.e. the slaughtering of the camels. And of course the other slaughtering of cows and sheep, etc. But the word used is one har. And nahar, it refers to camels. Why is it particularly referring to camels? Linguistically in Arabic, that's what it refers to. And because slaughtering a camel, it is more beneficial to the poor than slaughtering a sheep. That's obvious, because a camel will feed many more people, or it will feed a number of people for a much longer time. So it is more beneficial, the slaughtering of a camel, as opposed to the slaughtering of something smaller. So here it's mentioned, after having said all of these goodnesses that have been given to you and the river in paradise, so pray to your Lord, be sincere with your worship to Allah. As we mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that you alone we worship, and you alone we seek aid and assistance from. So here the same thing, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. So pray to your Lord. Pray sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that includes all of the prayers. Particularly, you may say, or it may be said, that here the intent is one particular prayer. What could perhaps be said is the intent of this prayer, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. When would you do the slaughtering? When is the slaughtering? The day of Eid. So perhaps it could be said that the meaning of this prayer, and pray to Allah and slaughter, i.e. pray the Eid prayer on Eid al-Adha, the Eid of Hajj, pray the Eid prayer and then slaughter. However, the meaning is more general. All of the prayers, the obligatory prayers, the supererogatory prayers, the nafil prayers, all of those, pray them sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely upon tawheed, for the sake of Allah, desiring the reward of Allah, not for any other purpose. Wanhar and slaughter. Again, slaughtering is an act of worship. Slaughtering is an act of worship. It is not permissible to slaughter for some wali, as they say, from the awliya of Allah, that they go and slaughter in his name and they distribute for his name because they think that will bring them benefit, or they think that this particular wali, as they say, will be able to answer their dua if they slaughter for his sake. So they go and slaughter like that, and it is shirk. Or perhaps the people, they go to graves of people and they slaughter on those graves for those people like that, in their names and upon them. Then that is also an act that is impermissible and haram. So slaughtering is an act of worship that is to be done for the sake of Allah also. So that's what Allah mentions here. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. Pray to Allah. وَانْحَرْ. And slaughter for the sake of Allah. Then it mentions, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ. That indeed your enemy, or the one who hates you, the one who hates you, your enemy, then that person will be cut off. That person will be separated and cut off, and that person will be left aside. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. So the one who hates you, a mubghiduka, wa shana'an huwa al-bughd. So the one who hates you, then that person is the one who is abtar, and abtar means that he is cut off. He is separated, he is distanced. And this is, in fact, what the mushrikeen used to accuse the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of. They used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is abtar. They used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is abtar. Here it says, inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. That the one who hates you, he's the one cut off. They used to say to the Prophet ﷺ, you're the one cut off. And that meaning, they used to mean that you are cut off, i.e. there's no barakah in you, there's no goodness in you, there's no blessing in you, there's nothing to be followed in you, there's no reason for us to accept what you're saying, you're isolated and you're cut off. And similarly, when the son of the Prophet ﷺ died, they said the same thing, you have no lineage, you're cut off. Your son has passed away, there's no lineage for you, you're cut off. So they used to make these statements against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the reality of this is that the meaning is the one who hates you, the one who has the enmity towards you, then that is the one who is cut off. That is the one who is gone. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. فَمَنْ أَبْغَضَ شَرِيعَةَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So the one who hates the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who hates the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has a disliking towards it, and he hates, or he hates any one particular aspect from the aspects of Islam, or that he hates any type of worship. He hates any type of worship. أي طاعة مما يتعبد به. So if he hates anything like that, anything from Islam, or any type of obedience from Islam, he hates that, then this type of person, فإنه كافر, then that person is a disbeliever. The one who hates Islam, or he hates aspects of Islam, or he hates the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that type of person is therefore a disbeliever. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. And that is because they hated what Allah revealed, so Allah finished their deeds. Their deeds were finished and destroyed and dropped. وَلَا حُبُوطَ لِلْعَمَلِ إِلَّا بِالْكُفَرِ. And there is nothing that can drop all of your deeds and finish off all of your deeds except kufr, disbelief. Your sins do not finish off all of your deeds. They decrease your iman, but they do not completely exit you from iman. But kufr is what destroys all of your deeds. إذن هذه السورة تضمنت بيان نعمة الله على رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this surah, it therefore entails, it explains the great number of blessings that Allah gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then it also commands us to be sincere in our prayers and in our slaughtering and in all of our acts of worship. And then it finally clarifies that the one who has a hatred to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has a hatred to the Sharia, then that type of person is the one who is cut off. This is what's mentioned in this particular surah. Then the next one that we'll cover also is Surah Al-Ma'un, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. So who can do that one? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم. Anyone else?
Me.
Go on, you this time then.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين. فذلك الذي
يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين
الذين هم عن صلاتهم Excellent. Anyone else?
Me.
Go on. Excellent. What's your name? Hamad and
Harith
and Isa. They're the three who got the surahs right today. So in this one now, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينَ. Have you considered him who calls the day of judgment a lie? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who basically, a deen is the day of judgment. So the ayah means, have you seen the one who rejects the day of judgment? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. A deen, it means accountability. So have you seen the one, have you considered the one who rejects the accountability? The one who rejects the day of resurrection. وَهَٰؤُلَاءِ هُمُ الَّذِينَ يُنْكِرُونَ الْبَعْثِ. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, these are the ones who reject the resurrection is going to occur. They reject that they will be resurrected. That's what it means, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينَ. A deen, often perhaps you understand that to mean the religion. But deen also means accountability, jaza. So here it means, have you seen the ones, have you considered the ones who reject the resurrection? They reject the day of resurrection. And that's as Allah mentioned in the Quran, أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ. They mentioned, as Allah said in the Quran regarding them, if we die, in the Quran it says, أَإِذَا مِتْنَا, if we die, وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا, and we become soil, gone in the dirt, in the ground, وَعِظَامًا, and bones. We become all of this after our death. أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ. Are we going to be resurrected again after that? So it's as if they were rejecting it. And similarly in another ayah, مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمَ. Who, they say, who will bring back the bones after they have crumbled in this way? Who will be able to bring them back and resurrect them? So they rejected the Day of Judgment. And there are those from the Mushrikeen who used to reject the Day of Judgment, the resurrection. So these individuals now, Allah says, have you seen them? The ones who reject the resurrection. فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمَ So he is the one, they are the ones, الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمَ Meaning that they are severe and harsh upon the orphans. These are some characteristics mentioned now. One of the characteristics is, فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمَ That they are severe and harsh to the orphans. يعني عدم الرحمة بالأيتام الذين هم محل الرحمة That they have no mercy to the orphans who require mercy and generosity and kindness. An orphan who has lost his father, a child who has lost his father, then that person, that child requires kindness and generosity. Yet these people, the characteristic is that they are severe and harsh to those orphans. وَلِهَذَا وَرَدَتِ النُّصُوصِ بِفَضْلِ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْأَيْتَامِ That's why, actually, in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, what we've been told to do, there are many texts that explain the virtue and the reward of being kind and generous to the orphans. Because that's what they require. An orphan, a child, a young child who has lost his father. And it's not a necessity that both of the parents have died. Typically, what the people understand from an orphan is a child who both of his parents have died. Not necessarily. A child whose father has died and he's still a child, then that would be considered as an orphan. So they are the ones who would require mercy and generosity and kindness. Yet these individuals, they treat them with severity and harshness. أي يدفعه بعنف That they have this harshness and severity towards them. The second characteristic mentioned, ولا يحض على طعام المسكين That they do not encourage upon the feeding of the poor. They do not encourage upon the giving to the poor. And as the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he explains, لا يحثون على رحمة الغير That they do not encourage the people to have generosity and mercy to others. They do not encourage the people to have generosity and mercy to others. فَالْمِسْكِينُ الْفَقِيرُ الْمُحْتَاجِ إِلَى الطَّعَامِ So the one who is miskeen, who is faqir, poor, and he requires food. لَا يَحُدُّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ عَلَىٰ إِطْعَامِهِ These types of people, they don't encourage to give to those poor and needy who are genuinely in need of food. لِأَنَّ قَلْبَهُ حَجَرٌ قَاسٍ Because these certain types of people, their hearts are like rocks, solid, no mercy. فَقُلُوبُهُمْ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَصْوَةِ So their hearts are like stones, rocks, or even more severe in their nature and build-up than that. إِذَنْ لَيْسَ فِيهِ رَحْمَةٍ لَا لِلْأَيْتَامِ وَلَا لِلْمَسَاكِينَ So these people, they have no mercy neither to the orphans and neither to the poor. So here Allah is mentioning these characteristics now. Have you seen those who reject the Day of Judgment? And that is the one who does not show mercy to the orphans. Rather, he's severe and does not encourage upon the feeding of the poor. Then it mentions, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ So woe be to the ones who pray but they are negligent of their prayer. They are slack in their prayer. Woe be to them. Wail. Wail, هَذِهِ كَلِمَةُ وَعِيدٍ This is a word which indicates a type of threat upon the person. Woe be to such and such. Woe be to such and such for this action or that action. So, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, that this severe threat is upon those people who are slack and negligent with regards to their prayers. هَؤُلَاءِ مُصَلُّونَ يُصَلُّونَ مَعَ النَّاسِ أَوْ أَفْرَادًا. So here, the people who are being mentioned are people who do pray. Either in congregation or alone, they do pray. However, they are sahoon, meaning that they are negligent. They are negligent of their prayer even though they pray. لا يقيمونها على ما ينبغي. They do not pray as it is appropriate and suitable, as it is proper and correct. يؤخرونها عن الوقت الفاضل. They delay the prayer out of its preferred time. They delay the prayers out of their preferred times. لا يقيمون ركوعها. When they pray, they don't do the ruku' properly, the physical ruku' even. So what do you see the people doing? They go into ruku' and then as they come out, they flick up out of ruku' and straight back down into sujood. That is incorrect. The prayer is completely incorrect if you pray in that way. It is a pillar, something you must do, that when you finish the ruku', you must come upright. You must come back and stand upright. As the hadith says, that your backbone, your vertebrae goes back into its place. You come upright, then you go into sujood. But what do you see the people doing? Coming out of the ruku', a quick flick, barely even standing at 45 degrees, let alone all the way up, a quick flick and they're straight down into sujood. They've missed that part of the prayer now. The part where you have to come out of ruku' and stand up straight until your vertebrae, your backbone, goes into place again and you are calm. Then you go into the next aspect, the prostration. So they do not establish the prayer properly in that regard. وَلَا سُجُودَهَا. And neither do they establish the prostration properly. The same thing is mentioned in the description of the Prophet's prayer. That when you go into prostration, when you come out of the first prostration, what do many people do? They go into the first prostration, they come up just a quick flick, just to get their head off the ground, and straight back down again. Wrong! What is required is after the first prostration, as the Prophet ﷺ did, you come out of that prostration until you are sitting upright properly again. That's what's mentioned in the description of the Prophet's prayer. You come back up and sit calmly and properly again. Then you go into the next prostration. Not that you do the first one and then do a flick and go into the next one. That is incorrect. So here the Shaykh says they do not perform that properly. وَلَا قِيَامَهَا وَلَا قُعُودَهَا. And neither do they perform the standing properly, nor the sitting properly. All of it is slack and all of it is broken, and all of it is incorrectly done. So praying properly is something of importance. Even certain things that people become so accustomed to that they forget that they carry on doing it. So you see so many people praying, and whilst they are praying, their eyes are here and there, looking this way, looking that way, looking at this window, looking at that door, looking at what the child is doing over there, looking at what that person is doing over there, looking around everywhere whilst they are praying. Incorrect. The hadith it mentions, when you pray, then put your focus of your eyesight down to where you're going to prostrate. And you keep your eyesight down to where you're going to prostrate whilst you're standing and reading. Not that you're standing and looking here and here and there. So all of these various aspects of the prayer, then this indicates negligence. لا يقرؤون ما يجب فيها من قراءة سواء كانت قرآنا أو ذكرا. Similarly, they don't recite properly in the prayer the Quran that they're supposed to recite, even the Fatiha. So many people, they don't even recite that properly. The imams of certain masajid, they don't even recite that properly, let alone the people behind them. Many places you go, and the imam cannot even recite the Fatiha. You hear them saying, غير المغزوب عليهم ولا الظالين. That is not even the Arabic, the correct pronunciation, the ضاد. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. To such an extent that it can change the meanings of words. You have in the Arabic alphabet, alif, ba, ta, tha. Many of them pronounce it as alif, ba, ta, sa. And when you read the Quran and you pronounce the tha as a sa, you will change the meanings of the ayat. Because the ta, the tha, and the sa, when you put them in various words, the word becomes a different word altogether. You've changed the sound of the word. It's a different word now. You say cat with a C. You say rat with an R. Two different things. In Arabic, you change the sound from tha to sa. Becomes a different word. So it's imperative that the person realizes how to pray properly, how to recite, and that that is performed in the proper manner. Because here the threat is mentioned upon those people, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, the ones who are negligent upon their prayers. They are negligent and they are absent-minded regarding their prayers. What if an individual says, therefore, if you forget during your prayer, for example, sometimes a person might forget, they're praying Dhuhr, for example, and they get to the fourth raka'ah and they can't remember. Is it the fourth or is it the third? They get confused about how many they prayed. Does this threat apply to them for their negligence in the prayer? This doesn't apply in that situation. A person who is genuinely focusing and praying with submission and humility to Allah and focusing in the prayer, but it happens, sometimes it happens, that maybe you come up for the fourth raka'ah and your mind suddenly just loses that information. Is it the fourth or the third? It happens sometime, even if you're focusing. It's mentioned it happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on occasion when he forgot which raka'ah he was in the prayer. So that could occur. That doesn't mean necessarily now that you're being negligent. For some people it may be. For some people it may be that due to their mind completely wandering the whole of the prayer, they haven't got a clue how much they've prayed. That's a different situation. But the ones who are genuinely focusing, but it does just slip. On the odd occasion, it may just slip. You forget, was it the third or the fourth? That isn't dispraiseworthy in this way. That isn't the threat upon that situation. But the threat is upon the situation of those who are negligent in their prayers. They fall short with regards to their prayers. They pray them outside of their times. They don't fulfill the conditions of the prayers. And that's why in the hadith, where it mentions Buniya al-Islam ala khams, that this religion, Islam, it is built upon five. What are those five? Shahada, the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Then the second one, what is it? What does it say in the hadith? What's the Arabic wording? What does it say in Arabic? Salah. Not just Salah. It doesn't just say Salah. It says Iqam is Salah. What does iqam mean? Iqama. Aqama yuqimu. That means to perform the prayer correctly and accurately with the pillars and the obligations and the necessities of the prayer. So this religion, it isn't just about praying. Just randomly praying, negligent and not bothering, and just do the actions and finish. What's required regarding the prayer is that you perform and establish the prayer. That's what it says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, the ones who establish the prayer, not just the ones who pray, the ones who establish the prayer. What's the difference? Establishment of the prayer, meaning properly in its time, with all of the aspects of the prayer being performed properly. So that is what's required, and for those who fall short in that, and they are negligent regarding that, and they are lazy regarding all of that, and this is what's mentioned regarding the threat upon them. But then it continues, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, the ones who are showing off, basically. يُرَاءُونَ, that they are showing off. They are praying in order to be seen by the people and praised by the people. They are praying for the sake of getting the praise from the people. And that is an action which is haram. That indicates that there is no sincerity. Rather, a person must pray sincerely for the sake of Allah, not desiring the reward of the people or for those who are watching him. And there is another type of showing off too, known as sum'ah. Sum'ah, then this can be two types. One is that you verbally do something for people to hear you and praise you. So maybe somebody recites the Quran loud, purposely, because he thinks he's got good recitation, etc. And he wants the people to say that to him. He wants the people to say, MashaAllah, what a beautiful reciter you are, etc. So he says things out loud and recites out loud to get the praise of the people. But there's another type of showing off too, where nobody is watching you and nobody is hearing you. You're all by yourself, but you can still show off. How? If you're all by yourself, imagine somebody gets up in the night to pray the tahajjud, to pray the night prayer, all by themselves at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, dark, everything in the house, everybody asleep, all the neighbors asleep, pitch black, nobody's going to see you, nobody's going to hear you, nobody's going to have a clue you were up at night praying. Go back to sleep after Fajr, nobody will know any different. How could you still be showing off? How could you still be showing off in that situation? How could you still show off? By telling people about what you did afterwards. By next day when you wake up, say to your friends, I can't come out with you today, I'm too tired. Because, you know, I was awake all last night from 2 o'clock in the morning. I was praying for 3 hours all night. I do it every night. So when you speak about your worship to people afterwards, your obedience, you speak about it to people afterwards, desiring to get praise from them. MashaAllah, you pray night prayer every night, 3 o'clock in the morning. You want the people to give you that praise, so you purposely mention these things to them. That is also a type of showing off then. Even though initially you did your action in complete isolation, silently in the darkness of the night, nobody knew, but you spoke about it afterwards, wanting reward or wanting praise rather from the people, and that is what then makes that also an act of showing off. So all of this then it's mentioned, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, the ones who show off with their worship and their obedience. And this is also mentioned, the threat against them. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, and they prevent الْمَاعُونَ, the utensils or the vessels, meaning they prevent giving what is necessitated for them to have to give. They prevent that. يَمْنَعُونَ مَا يَجِبُ بَذْلُهُ مِنَ الْمَوَاعِينَ وَهِيَ الْأَوَانِي. يعني يأتي الإنسان إليهم يستعير آنية يقول أنا محتاج إلى دلو أو محتاج إلى إناء أشرب به أو محتاج إلى مصباح كهرباء وما أشبه ذلك فيمنع. هذا أيضا مذموم. So the person who refuses to help the people when they require something to drink from, they require some other item of that nature, but they refuse the people and they reject them, that can be two types. It could be the case that somebody comes to you and they need some water, for example. They need some drinking utensil from you and they are in dire need of it. If you do not give it to them, they will die from thirst. Some of the scholars say in that situation, obviously you are dispraiseworthy. It is dispraiseworthy what you've done. A person comes to you desperate, thirsty, needs water and you refuse and he dies. Clearly that's dispraiseworthy on your part. But on top of that, some of the scholars even say you are liable for blood money to him, to his family. Because he came to you in a time where he was in absolute desperation for the water. You refused to give him that water and he died as a consequence of that. You had the ability to give him that. Then upon you is the blood money, some of the scholars even say. So one type of rejection to the people is that. When there's an absolute necessity or need in that way, somebody needs a utensil to drink from or something of that nature, but you refuse. The other type is when it's not that type of desperate situation, necessity type of situation, but still it's a situation where you are requested of something, however you refuse and you reject. And so that is a dispraiseworthy type of characteristic. فَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ فِي نَفْسِهِ As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, therefore, it's upon a person to examine himself. هَلْ هُوَ مِمَّنِ اتَّصَفَ بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ Is that person, are you a person who has these types of characteristics in him? Are you a person who has these types of characteristics that are mentioned in this surah? Regarding the negligence of the prayer, regarding the evil treatment towards the orphans, regarding the evil treatment towards those who are poor and needy, etc. So, the Shaykh says every individual must examine himself and look towards himself, because there is a severe threat in this ayah. وَيْلُلْ فَوَيْلُلْ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ That woe be to those who are negligent in their prayers, and they are showing off with them. So this surah, it explains to us some of the characteristics that we should not be upon, and in turn it therefore explains to us the characteristics that we should be upon in terms of the generosity and kindness to the orphans, in terms of looking after and guarding our prayers, and that, inshaAllah ta'ala, is briefly what we'll mention regarding those two surahs of the Qur'an. I will conclude upon that point. And before we leave, we'll mention that next week, the lesson will begin at 8:30 p.m. Half an hour later, we normally advertise for 8 p.m. Next week it will be 8:30 p.m. 8:30 p.m. And on top of that, there will be a break from this series of lessons we've been doing. This is approximately the 6th lesson in Tafsir. We'll take a break next week because inshaAllah ta'ala, Abu Iyad, who came several weeks ago and did the first part of that explanation of the Sunnah, etc., he will come next Friday and do the second part of that. So Abu Iyad, Amjad Rafiq, who was here a few weeks ago from Middlesbrough, then, or from that area, he will come again next week, inshallah, and do the second part of the lecture he started. So again, you should encourage everybody to attend. Encourage. Next week, Friday, 21st of March. Next week is 21st of March, inshallah, next Friday. Next Friday, he will come, inshallah. So encourage your friends and your family and everybody to come again for that lecture regarding the Sunnah, regarding the companions from that book of Al-Imam Ahmad. So that will be next week at 8:30 p.m. with Abu Iyad, Amjad Rafiq, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we'll conclude there for now. We have a few minutes to exit the hall. Insha'Allah, we'll have to leave it there. Any questions, you can insha'Allah pose them to Abu Iyad next week. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.